Okay, today is 29 August. It's Sunday. This is the CG Report. Who needs a lockdown? That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, we are starting our report today with something from Israel. But before I actually give you the first couple of articles from Israel, on the Wednesday report, I said and I recommended to people that you go to YouTube if you want to know the state of what's going on in the world as far as totalitarian governments and so on, to watch a channel called Academy of Ideas. Okay? It's very well done. He cites all kinds of people that have lived under communist rules, under totalitarian rules. His videos are very professional. But the reason why I'm bringing this up again is because I want people to know in advance that this is not a Christian. Okay, some of the things he says involve the state of man. And his concept of man is that we are totally reliant on ourselves and there's nothing beyond ourselves. And you can tell it from what he says. And before somebody emails me and says, well, you shouldn't be watching that because that's not why I'm telling you to watch Academy of Ideas. I'm telling you to watch it because he understands the nature of totalitarian rules, authoritarian governments, and so on. That is what I'm recommending. I'm not recommending his theology. So please keep that in mind if you watch them. I do recommend them. They're very good. Another one came up yesterday and it was well put together. So far I've watched five or six of them and they carry the same general theme, but he lets you know how things in the world that are occurring right now fit into what has happened in the past in these type of governments. So it's worth watching, even if you just check out a couple of them. But please don't email me about his theology. I understand his theology, hence I'm telling you about it now. Okay, so we got a few things from Israel today. From All Israel, with Israel requiring quarantine for nearly all incoming travelers, tourism personnel say terrible situation has been a roller coaster of inconsistencies and half-truths. Now think of this. Israel's economy has been, for years, based almost solely on tourism. And I don't mean that literally, but I mean a large part of the people in that country are dependent on tourism. And those people have been knocked around for the past year and a half like no people on this planet. I mean, it's like California. It's just unbelievable. So please understand that if you want to pray for some people in Israel, I would be praying for the people that are suffering under these lockdowns and the things that are going on. With COVID infections in Israel rising at a rapid pace, the government approved a last-minute restriction last week that struck another blow to the struggling tourism industry. A 7-day quarantine requirement across the board for anyone entering Israel from almost anywhere. In a matter of days, the cancellations came pouring in. You think so? You go to Israel and you want to travel for a week and a half and you've got to be in quarantine for 7 days? Why would you even bother? It just, the government is not making right decisions over there. In a matter of days, the cancellations came pouring in. The new ruling, which does not specify an end date. Think of that. We're just putting this out and we're not giving you any end date, so you have no idea when your life is going to be back to normal. Takes the tourism industry several steps backwards on its road to recovery and essentially closes the door indefinitely on groups waiting to visit in the coming months. Very sad situation. From All Israel, drones, arrests, and warnings. Israel takes on violations of mask mandates and green passport system. This was something that they started in Australia some time ago, had drones out there and telling people that they had to do certain things, and they're monitoring them. Now Israel is doing it. It's becoming a police state over there. Israel police will use drones with loudspeakers as police start to get tougher on the new set of restrictions that have come into effect. At least two videos are circulating around Israel of men being handcuffed and arrested for being in a mall without a mask. One of the men fainted during the arrest. But the message that came out this week from law enforcement is that they plan to crack down on infractions such as these even harder. With this, called the purple badge system, Israel has more or less returned to all regulations that were in place at the height of the infection. Israel's one of the world's most highly vaccinated nations and even emerged from heavy restrictions in June just to find itself back with masks and stringent restrictions weeks later. from all Israel. Who needs a lockdown? Some business owners fear Israel's new COVID restrictions are having a similar negative impact. New restrictions that went into effect requiring anybody from the age of 3 to present a green passport or a negative COVID test for entry into several different establishments have rendered pools, zoos, restaurants, and other businesses relatively empty in these last days of summer. The rules have been met with long lines, mostly to get children tested before entering a facility, and several disgruntled customers. Some parents said they waited 3 hours on a line to get their kids tested before entering zoos and museums. I'm so glad that we're in Florida. I am so glad that we have a Republican governor that is willing to not allow this type of nonsense. Listen, if you're a private industry and you want to have people come in and wear masks, that's your business. But it should not be the business of the state to be enforcing this type of stuff on everybody. From all Israel, Israeli panel recommends expanding third shots to ages 40 plus, pregnant women, and teachers. The first shot didn't work, the second shot didn't work, and now they want to give them a third shot, and they want to lower the age and include pregnant women and teachers. Times of Israel. If it doesn't work the first time, we'll just keep doing it until it does. From the Times of Israel, U.S. military completes first Iron Dome tests on American soil. This was the first live-fire trial in which U.S. soldiers shot down targets, including drones, with Iron Dome. Originally designed to intercept rockets, the Iron Dome has since upgraded and improved to allow to also shoot down mortar shells, unmanned aerial vehicles, and cruise missiles. Under a 2019 agreement, Israel sold 2 Iron Dome batteries to the United States, the first being delivered in late 2020, and the second in January. Since then, the U.S. Army has been working to integrate the system into its air defense array. The trials were conducted at the U.S. military's White Sands Test Range. Israel is interested in selling the Iron Dome system abroad, but without exposing the proprietary technologies that make it work, as such information could be used by the country's enemies to beat the system. So there you go with that. Now some news concerning the state of Christianity today. Before I give our first article, John is in Richmond, British Columbia. And he has asked me to ask if anybody in that area knows of a good church. He's gone to many churches. He has found none that he finds acceptable. And so if you are in Richmond, British Columbia, and you know of a good church, please let me know and I'll send it on to him. From CBS, Pope Francis urges people to get COVID-19 vaccine as an act of love. Thanks to God and to the work of many, we now have vaccines to protect us from COVID-19. Well, Israel doesn't seem to agree with that, at least in numbers. They grant us the hope of ending the pandemic, but only if they are available to all and if we work together, he said. Being vaccinated is an act of love, and contributing to ensure the majority of people are vaccinated is an act of love. Do you feel loving today? How is your vaccine journey going? From LifeSite, high-ranking U.S. bishops order priests to refuse religious exemption letters for COVID vaccines. A growing number of prominent and often dissident bishops in the United States have rejected allowing Catholics under their charge to obtain religious exemptions from the abortion-tainted COVID-19 injections. These are Catholics that are supposed to be anti-abortion, and yet they're saying it's okay. Where does your moral stand? Where is it on your spectrum of life? Okay, that's the question. Let's see here. The president of the USCCB, Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles, is perhaps the most high-profile name to protest vaccine exemptions, having written to the clergy in his archdiocese ruling out the provision of exemption letters for the experimental COVID-19 gene therapy injections. In the statement, Gomez recommends that all members of the Catholic community who can receive a COVID-19 vaccine should do so, stating that they were not morally objectionable. Well, who defines morally objectionable? If you're talking about taking parts of aborted babies and using them in the serum of a vaccine, I would say that's morally objectionable. I don't know about you. From Christian Post, 60% of adults under 40 say Jesus is not the only way to salvation, equal to Buddha and Muhammad. More than 60% of born-again Christians in America between the ages of 18 and 39 believe that Buddha, Muhammad, and Jesus are all valid paths to salvation, and over 30% say they either believe that Jesus sinned, like other people when he lived on earth, or aren't sure. There's a striking decline in evangelical religious beliefs and practices over the last 10 years, as the number of self-proclaimed believers to hold these beliefs has increased by nearly 25%. The study saw a drop in basic biblical worldview, God's attributes, the accuracy of the Bible, salvation, and Jesus being sinless, from 47% in 2010 to 25% in 2020 among born-again Christians. Well, I would question if they're born again, if they believe that Jesus sinned. I would definitely. There are other things in there that you could maybe, I don't know, I don't know all the things I just read, but Jesus sinning is non-negotiable. I'm sorry. If you believe that Jesus sinned, you have a false Jesus. That's all there is to it. Go read Galatians 1, 6 through 8 and get your theology straight, okay? Jesus never sinned, and there is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Buddha and Muhammad are not valid paths to God. I'll say that right now. I don't remember what the other things they said were, but I will tell you that this is serious business here, and these people need to start. That's why we had that baby dedication today, is so that the parents are reminded that they have a responsibility to raise their children properly. We'll go on. The drop in the expanded biblical worldview, beliefs about Satan and morals being objective, went from 32% in 2010 to 16% in 2020. This means even born-again Christians can have a false view of Jesus Christ and embrace a pluralistic worldview. There's an even greater drop-off among the general population, the study found. For the basic biblical worldview, there's a drop-off from 13% to 6%. For the expanded biblical worldview, the decline is from 9% to just over 3%. Well, this shows you that what goes on in the government of a country also affects the people as well, because these other people aren't churchgoers, but their ideas of theology have decreased along with the introduction of more and more liberal administrations. It's very sad what's going on. Okay, from Celtic Warrior News, there are 2,565 confessing born-again Christians in Ireland out of 4.9 million people. I'll say that again, 2,565 people in the whole country that say they are born again in Christ. There are more than 2,050 Jedi Knights in Ireland. There are almost as many Star Wars religious as born-again Christians who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. What a sad state of affairs for a nation that was founded. Its founding principles back in the 1920s were based solely on the authority and headship of Jesus Christ. 2,565 people. Some news from the Middle East and Africa today from Breitbart. Anthony Blinken admits diplomats sent cable warning of potential swift Taliban takeover. He ignored it. Now, I saw another article where he said, you can't read everything. Well, that is your job, is to read everything that is sent to you, especially from the level of people that sent this to him. U.S. Secretary of State Blinken admitted reading an internal cable from about two dozen diplomats warning of the potential swift Taliban takeover of Afghanistan as U.S. troops were pulling out in mid-July. About a month before the jihadi group forced the collapse of the country's government and military. The group of diplomats reportedly sent the confidential cable, signed on July 13th, through a so-called dissent channel and offered recommendations on ways to deal with the situation and accelerate an evacuation. From Zero Hedge, why Blinken and Biden didn't take immediate action despite receiving a dissent channel emergency communication from their staff on the ground in Kabul is unknown. However, Blinken is apparently so bad that John McCain, who I didn't really like, but he was kind of insightful on this, who John McCain called him dangerous to America in a 2014 Senate speech, adding that he was one of the worst selections of a very bad lot as Obama's nominee for Secretary of State. We've got the worst of the worst running our nation, and his appointees are the worst of the worst of the appointees. Breitbart. Biden. I have seen no question of our credibility from our allies around the world. from TTC. UK Parliament holds Joe Biden in contempt over Afghanistan debacle. Well, all he needs to do is open up the newspaper and he'll see it. From the Times of Israel, imbecilic. Ex-UK Prime Minister Blair slams West's dangerous abandonment of Afghanistan. Former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair, who in 2001 took Britain into war in Afghanistan alongside the US, condemned their abandonment of the country as dangerous and unnecessary. In his first public comments on the crisis since the Afghan government collapsed last weekend, Blair criticized the U.S. motives for the withdrawal as imbecilic and driven not by grand strategy but by politics. The abandonment of Afghanistan and its people is tragic, dangerous, unnecessary, not in their interests and not in ours, Blair wrote in a wide-ranging article published in his institute's website. We didn't need to do it. We chose to do it. We did it in obedience to an imbecilic political slogan about ending the forever wars, as if our engagement in 2021 was remotely comparable to our commitment 20 or even 10 years ago. The comments will be widely seen as a direct attack on Biden, who used the forever wars phrase repeatedly during campaigning last year. From Weasel Zippers, Blinken calls leaving Americans to get to the Kabul airport on their own the best way to do this. This was last week he said that, and their stand has remained unchanged. Do it yourself, folks. Dan Scavino at Twitter. The French are sending in convoys of special forces, troops, to rescue citizens while Americans just stand around guarding an airport. Now remember, this is Blinken who said, get to the airport yourself, and we have the French going in and getting people. Next one, Weasel Zippers. Washington Post reporter says she was rescued by British troops after Biden banned U.S. forces from venturing out of Kabul airport. So we've got the French and the British taking care of their business. From Weasel Zippers, Fox News, not a government, Fox News successfully evacuated three Afghan nationals. Fox News. From Breitbart, Biden increasing Afghan inflow to the United States before all Americans are evacuated. They've imported 100,000 of them, and they have not finished bringing our citizens home. From the Washington Examiner, U.S. General tells British Special Forces, stop rescuing people in Kabul. You're making us look bad. This is one of our commanders telling a commander in the British Army, don't do this. Major General Christopher Donahue has told his British Army counterpart, a high-ranking field grade officer of the British Army's 22nd SASR, that British operations were embarrassing the U.S. military in the absence of similar U.S. military operations. I understand that the British officer firmly rejected the request. Can you imagine what's going on in the world right now? Breitbart, Biden ensures states, cities have no veto power over Afghan refugees. Biden's admin may balloon the number of Afghans set to be resettled across the U.S. following the withdrawal of U.S. armed forces. Pentagon officials stated up to 22,000 Afghans, mostly applying for special immigrant visas, and the newly created P2 visa would be arriving at three military bases in Virginia, Texas, and Wisconsin. Refugee resettlement agencies told the Washington Post the number of Afghans seeking evacuation through a U.S. visa program is closer to 100,000 and could be as high as 300,000. Biden has already allocated an additional $500 million of your tax dollars to resettle Afghans. Regardless, Biden had ensured that states and local jurisdictions will not have any say in whether Afghans are resettled in their communities. In September 2019, President Trump issued an executive order that gave state governors, county officials, and local governments the power to veto refugee resettlement in their communities. The order was a major win for activists, specifically in Tennessee, who had fought the Obama administration for its dumping of refugees across the state without any input from the governor, mayors, and local citizens. By January 2020, a federal judge granted a nationwide preliminary injunction requested by refugee contractors who sued over Trump's order. That stripped states and local jurisdictions of their veto power until the case was settled. In early February 2020, Biden rescinded Trump's order. Then in January, a panel of three judges on the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, two liberals appointed by Obama and one liberal appointed by Clinton, upheld the previous court decision that banned implementation of Trump's order. So the liberals are out to destroy your communities.
Yep.
One refugee at a time. Reuters, Putin, we don't want Afghan militants in Russia. President Putin rejected the idea of sending people evacuated from Afghanistan to countries near Russia, saying he did not want militants showing up here under cover of refugees. Putin criticized an idea of some Western countries to relocate refugees from Afghanistan to neighboring Central Asian countries while their visas to the U.S. and Europe are being processed. Does that mean that they can be sent without visas to those countries, to our neighbors, while they themselves, the West, don't want to take them without visas? Why is there such a humiliating approach to solving the problem, he said. Russia is telling us that they don't want Afghan refugees because they don't want to get exploded in their home country. Okay? Politico. U.S. officials provided Taliban with names of Americans, Afghan allies to evacuate. Basically, they just put all those Afghans on a kill list, said one defense official. From the Epoch Times, France, Afghan refugee obviously linked to Taliban arrested in Paris. Okay, as we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. From Fast Markets, Mongolia supply disruption weighs on market sentiment in China. China's domestic coking coal market rose sharply in the week due to the supply shortage from Mongolia, which also weighed on market sentiment in seaborne coking coal prices in the CFR China market. So there you go with that. Okay, the book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? From Malware Bytes, Amazon will pay you $10 for your palm prints. Should you be worried? Amazon One was introduced in September 2020 as a quick, reliable, and secure way for people to identify themselves or authorize a transaction while moving seamlessly through their day. The announcement came in the thick of the COVID-19 pandemic, which seemed to give it a boost due to its non-contact nature. Since then, Amazon has rolled out Amazon One to more of its stores in the Seattle area and beyond. This biometric scanner can now be found in use in Amazon Books, Amazon Go convenience stores, Amazon Go Grocery, and Amazon 4-star stores in various U.S. states, including Maryland, New Jersey, New York, and Texas. Amazon says it scans and captures the minutest detail of a palm, which includes ridges, lines, and features under the skin, like vein patterns, to create a unique palm signature. Amazon claims that palm recognition is considered more private than some biometric alternatives because you can't determine a person's identity by looking at an image of their palm. Palm signatures are created, encrypted, and stored in the cloud. Palm images, card details, and the phone numbers are also never stored in the Amazon One device. And the company further claims they are protected at all times, both at rest and in transit. How these palm signatures are encrypted, Amazon did not specify. They also didn't say if they comply with current standards for capturing, exchanging, and storing biometric data. Amazon is well capable of creating a very secure system, but any plan to create a centralized repository of authentication info should give us pause, especially if that information is biometrics that can't be changed if they're leaked or breached. It is the opposite of the approach being taken by FIDO2, for example, a passwordless authentication scheme that can be used with biometrics without the biometric data ever leaving its owner's control. Amazon stores palm data indefinitely, unless someone manually deletes it from their profile or if the member doesn't use the feature for 2 years. So, do you want to have your palm scanned for $10? It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues that the book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's developing. Question. What does every single drug recalled by the FDA have in common? It was first approved by the FDA. Very well said. That's correct. From Georgia Star News. Massive nurse shortage hits Houston weeks after 150 unvaccinated nurses and hospital workers fired. Jennifer Bridges knew what was coming when her director at Houston Methodist Hospital called her up in June to inquire about her vaccination status. Her vaccination journey was not going so well. Bridges, a 39-year-old registered nurse, responded absolutely not when asked if she was vaccinated or had made an effort to get vaccinated. She was terminated on the spot. We all knew we were getting fired. We knew unless we took that shot to come back, we were getting fired today. There were no ifs, ands, or buts. Bridges was one of more than 150 hospital workers fired by Houston Methodist Hospital. All last year, through the COVID pandemic, we came to work and did our jobs, said Kara Shepherd, a labor and delivery nurse who joined Bridges and other workers in an unsuccessful lawsuit. We did what we were asked. This year, we're basically told we're disposable. Shepherd and her colleagues may be disposable in the eyes of the hospital administrators, but they are perhaps not as easily replaced as she or Houston Methodist thought. 2 months after firing unvaccinated hospital staff, Houston Methodist is one of several hospitals experiencing a severe shortage of medical personnel. Shocking. Media reports say hospitals have reached a breaking point because of a flood of COVID-19 cases, probably mostly vaccinated people. The Houston Chronicle said the 25-county hospital area that includes Houston had more patients in hospital beds, more than 2,700, than at any point in 2021. News reports make it clear that hospitals are struggling to keep up. KHOU-11, a local news station, says medical tents have been erected outside of Lyndon B. Johnson Hospital, but are vacant because of a shortage of nurses. While most media reports focus on While most media reports focus on LBJ Hospital, reports also make it clear other hospitals, including Houston Methodist, are experiencing similar struggles. Harris Medical System, which includes LBJ, is short some 250 nurses, while the UT Medical Branch has requested an additional 100 nurses to help address staff shortages at four hospitals. So all over Houston and in parts of Texas, they are really struggling, and it goes elsewhere as well. From the Washington Examiner, healthcare systems wary of instituting COVID-19 vaccine mandate over fears of losing staff. Epic Times, healthcare workers pack hearing to support bill to ban vaccine mandates in Michigan.
Yay.
From the BL, mandatory vaccinations could cause a severe nursing shortage in the United States, warns former New York Times reporter. These nurses are obviously, if these people, the professionals in the field, don't want these vaccinations, it should tell you something. You should be alerted to something that is going on. Okay, our vaccinations in America went up like this, just like Israel, and now the cases are going like this, just like in Israel. Epic Times, frontline healthcare workers protest mandatory vaccination in California. On August 21st, California's frontline healthcare workers held simultaneous protests in Riverside and Irvine against the government's mandatory vaccination order at Kaiser Permanente Riverside Medical Center and Kaiser Permanente Orange County Irvine Medical Center. If I pronounced any of that wrong, let it go, okay? Many protesters told the Epic Times that their hospitals had given them an ultimatum. They had until September 30th to choose between mandatory death drug vaccination and getting fired. I added in a couple words there, obviously. From Breitbart, San Francisco moves to punish first responders staff for failing to reveal vaccination status. Breitbart. New York Times, masks a great opportunity to help kids learn in school. It'll help them, listen to this, it'll help them conquer nose picking and nail biting.
Oh.
Yes, that is your excuse for having your children masked up.
Make them school for that.
Yes, Mail Online. Civil rights leader, guess what? He was vaccinated. Civil rights leader Reverend Jesse Jackson, 79, and his wife Jacqueline, 77, are hospitalized with COVID after getting vaccinated in Chicago. Former presidential candidate is fully vaccinated. Not just one, he was fully vaccinated. Weasel Zippers. Pelosi attends Democrat fundraiser where the only people wearing masks are black and brown waiters. Yeah. You know, people ought to be upset about that kind of stuff, but nobody ever seems to say anything about it. Nobody ever seems to say anything about something as appalling as that. Oh, the black people and the brown people, they can go put on their masks and serve us, but we're going to sit here without our masks on.
Yeah.
And nobody's offended.
Racism.
The state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that from Breitbart. Transgender surgeries surged during pandemic as all other health care fell dramatically. Imagine that. The American Society of Plastic Surgery released its first report outlining statistics for gender confirmation surgeries, one that reveals a double-digit increase in transgender surgeries in 2020, even as all other healthcare services dropped dramatically because of the coronavirus pandemic restrictions. Elective mastectomies for trans male patients, i.e. biological women who identify as men, saw a 15% increase from 2019 to 2020, and trans female facial and breast surgeries similarly jumped 14%. You talk about the immorality of the world, Genesis 6, I'm going to destroy you because of your wickedness.
Yep.
We're right there.
Amen.
From the Christian headlines, Hobby Lobby fined $220,000 for requiring transgender women to use unisex restroom. Somebody goes in there and says, I'm a woman, he's got a beard, and they say, well, you can go use the unisex, but you can't use the girls. And he sued him and he won.
Wow.
From the Western Journal, Biden administration issues transgender-themed back-to-school message urging students to file complaints against their schools. This is that guy that's standing in charge of that department, the Secretary of Education, that looks like a woman. Okay? The Biden admin wants transgender students to know that an army of government lawyers is ready and willing to sue schools on their behalf. In a so-called back-to-school video, Biden admin officials told transgender students that they are ready to fight all those bad people who might enact rules and laws they don't like. In some places, people in positions of authority are putting up obstacles that would keep you from playing on the sports field, accessing the bathroom, and receiving the supportive and life-saving care you may need. We're here to say that's wrong, and it's against the law. You know what? I have to say it. We have this administration, just like I said it during Obama's administration, we deserve the judgment of God.
Exactly right.
We deserve it. If we have long lines where people are looking for a loaf of bread, we deserve it. If we have somebody come in here and blow up one of our cities, we deserve it. We as a people have fallen so far from God, we are worse than Israel of the Old Testament.
Yes.
We're right along with Sodom and Gomorrah, and maybe worse, because they didn't cut off women's breasts and call them men all of a sudden. We are in really bad shape in this country. We are in very bad shape. Some other news from around the world. Charlie Missy, you all know Charlie Missy. I mentioned this on the Thursday Bible class. I'd like to say it for anybody that listens to the CG Report. She's a wonderful lady. She is in California. She sells things, wonderful things. She, you know, shirts and pendants and stuff. She has 30 silver grace pendants. It's a cross that says grace. It's a beautiful pendant. She has 30 of them that she has ordered to sell to raise money for a preemie, a premature baby in the Philippines. So if you will buy one of those, you can give it to a daughter or a wife or whatever. They're beautiful. Please be sure to email her or go to her website and buy one of them. Her website is gratefulsaints.com, GRATEFULSAINTS.com. Okay? You go there and you can order one of those crosses and think of somebody special to send one or two over the year ahead, and that'll help a premature baby in the Philippines. Okay, from Zero Hedge, Australian truck drivers vow to block every major highway in radical anti-lockdown strike. Now, I'm hoping that this is still the case. I don't know if it is because this was earlier in the week. I've seen nothing to change it, but I want you to know about this because this is what needs to start happening in this nation.
Yes.
We need to take control of what's going on, and we need to take control of it now, because this nation, if we continue to allow the administration to do the things they're doing, we deserve the judgment of God.
Amen.
In a big, big way. As Australians take to the streets to protest the country's lockdown measures, most recently clashing with police over the weekend. Aussie truck drivers are planning, once again, I don't know if this is still ongoing, but I pray that it is, are planning to shut down every major highway across the country and have advised people to stock up on groceries. One driver declared that truck drivers are planning to shut down the country to remove the blank, 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 blank government on August 31st, beginning at 9 a.m. That's coming very soon to a day near you. It's on. The truckies are doing it. The truckies are going to shut down the country, the man says, adding, what that means is you need to go shopping now, get what you can for the next week or two, load your fridge, freezers. He said supply chains would be interrupted and urged Aussies to stock up on groceries to get them through the next couple of weeks. According to the man, truck drivers have been in discussion with people from around the world and have been working with war veterans to carry out the protest. The truckies are in, the vets are in. I'm willing to go to jail to save my country and children, said the man. I hope that that will happen. I hope that Australia will go through all kinds of crisis, so that the government is kicked out and those people take over reason again in that country, because they have been suffering like as bad as any first world country on this planet in the past couple months. These liberals have gotten in there and they have taken over and they have ruined that place. And you know what? Somebody corrected. Yes, we do. Somebody corrected me. I say liberals over there. They're the Labor Party government. I understand that, but it's I'm an American citizen. I'm not going to get into every government's politics. They're liberals. OK, they're just not good people. OK, from the GB report, Patrick Christie's. This is a guy in Great Britain. I thought I'd read this article, even though it has nothing to do with America, because it has everything to do with America. Patrick Christie's in the United Kingdom. I don't understand how we can justify leaving Afghanistan veterans to rot, but we can jump through hoops to help refugees. Should we be housing our homeless military veterans before we house Afghan refugees? As we prepare to open our country's arms to Afghans fleeing the Taliban, local councils are scrambling around to find room for them. According to Whitehall sources, the average size of an Afghan family is 7 people. The largest so far has been 12. Loads of people have been asking, where do they all go? Well, some of the solutions to this dilemma include building new homes for them, councils renting private properties, or even buying properties. In fact, there's even talk of retaining former military accommodation that was about to be sold off. I find all of this a bit strange because there are roughly 7,000 homeless military veterans currently lining the streets of Britain, and supposedly councils haven't got the resources or accommodations to house them. I don't think that's true. I think they just haven't got the will or the desire to house our veterans. Yeah. Have a think about this. We have supposedly already settled 2,000 Afghan refugees. So they're already in accommodation, either permanently or in quarantine hotels. We're about to accept another 5,000 this year. That, ladies and gentlemen, is 5 plus 2 is 7,000 people, the same number of homeless military veterans that we currently have. I don't want to pit the military veterans against Afghan refugees. I don't want it to be one or the other. I don't think it needs to be. But it looks like that's where we are. It looks like the local councils and indeed our government has decided to prioritize Afghan refugees over military veterans. Why is that? We're currently looking homeless military veterans in the eye and telling them that we don't have anywhere for them to live, that they'll have to spend another night on the streets while we simultaneously halt the sale of a decommissioned military barracks so that we can house the thousands of Afghans inside. That's happening in America, folks. That's happening right now. We're bringing in people by the tens and hundreds of thousands. Almost a million probably by now over the southern border. And yet we can't take care of the people in this nation first. I don't get that. Epic Times. Toyota to cut production by up to 60% due to parts shortage. A pandemic-driven parts crunch is forcing Toyota to cut production by 40% in assembly plants in Japan and by as much as 60% in North America. Epic Times. You know, the Toyota Camry has been the number one selling car in America year after year after year. I looked at the stats about a week or two ago, every year. I wonder if this is somehow forced by America? I wonder if there's, I don't know, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but why are they suffering so badly on a parts crunch? Not the chip crunch, which everybody is facing, but a parts crunch, when we got plenty of parts here. I'm just wondering if they're trying to get America's cars up, which I'll keep my comments to myself. I love my Toyota. I'll just say that. Epic Times. Wisconsin jail to call inmates residents to maintain dignity of criminals. Can you imagine that? A Wisconsin county jail will no longer refer to those incarcerated as inmates, but instead residents or those who are in our care. Mail Online. Kamala tackles the big issue of the day. This was earlier in the week, maybe last weekend, but I thought I'd throw it in. Kamala tackles the big issue of the day, Christmas. The vice president ignores Afghanistan catastrophe and tells parents to buy presents now because climate change has hit toy supply and crashed Singapore's beach. I mean, this person is literally insane. She should be committed. Epic Times. Supreme Court orders Biden admin to reinstate remain in Mexico policy. Thank God, one good thing on this entire report this week. One good thing. Epic Times. Supreme Court blocks CDC eviction moratorium. Oh, thank goodness. Two good things this week. They have to stay in Mexico while they're waiting for their visas, and you can now get the people that haven't paid you for your property for a year out. Can you imagine we've had to go through the Supreme Court of the United States to get this done?
Yep.
Unbelievable. Okay, who said it? Knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens.
Solomon.
What'd you say?
Jimi Hendrix.
My wife got it. Unbelievable. Knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. You know what? Even a guy like Jimi Hendrix can get it right, and he got it right. Oh, my rocking wife. Wow. I'm always wondering, she's got those things on and she's cleaning the house and doing this. Okay, I got a Lesserick here for you. Will Jesus find faith on the earth when he comes back to measure its worth? They are fools who will say there is more than one way to achieve a new spiritual birth. All right, I got one irony here for you, and we'll be done. From MIL. Landmark study about honesty is canned after a decade because it was dishonest. Research which found simple way to curb cheating was based on fake data. Yes. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CGE report for the week.